Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to episode 30 of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is a new section in our podcast series. And this episode's theme is Open Sesame, Uncover Your Relationship Triggers. Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Kozwa Fenton is my name. Dolokas is my clan name, and this is episode 30. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so we can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. Thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand, but most importantly, implement in our daily lives. In this series, we look into our most intimate relationships, our love life. And the theme for this episode is Open Sesame, Uncover Your Relationship Triggers. Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like, and share our content and links, you help us grow together. And as always, Kinga is right here on the other side. Hi, Kings.
Hello, hello. Thank you, Nolly. Hello, dear listeners. Yes, dear listeners, keep, like just Nolly said, keep on sharing this knowledge because it can change life for the better. Share our links with your family, with your friends. And we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your huge contribution. You are our inspiration in building and opening up the themes about the laws of love and romantic relationships. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp at 076-289-6670. Join our monthly virtual circle every last Tuesday evening of the month to receive your link and the theme we're working with. Look for the link on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com, or check for updates on our socials at uniqueyetconnected.
Oh, yes. And you're also welcome to drop us a WhatsApp message requesting the link. Our WhatsApp number is 076-289-6670. I must say, Kinga, I truly enjoy the virtual connection circles. For me, they like an extension of our podcast series.
Yes, definitely. And we do a lot of exercises, so that's great. It's a very practical circle. So as we promised, just back to the podcast, as we promised, we are starting a new chapter, or more like a second book in our podcast series. During the first 28 episodes, we looked into the laws of love and the way they affect our perspective on life and our relationships. We did a lot of exercises on belonging, claiming our rightful place, and honoring our ancestors' faith by giving back unwanted burdens and difficulties to where they belong. Through these actions, we opened up the way for our lives to be filled with prosperity, success, and happiness. The second book is about our most intimate relationships. Here we look into romantic love and marriage on the deepest level. The intention for this series is to bring into your relationship the gift of the knowing intimacy instead of unfulfilled yearning.
Oh, yes, I truly enjoyed the first 28 episodes about the laws of love, and I've grown since we started the series, and I learned to take my gift of belonging and my family system. I now know that I'm a part of the system and not the system itself. And that has freed me up. And I honor everybody in my family system. And I've claimed my rightful place in my family system. And I'm in my rightful place now. I'm also focusing on my story. And I've honored my parents and ancestors' faith by giving back family burdens. I feel lighter since I've done that. And I also forgot what I've seen concerning my parents' relationship. I've shifted a lot of things from the episodes and the constellation sessions. And in this new series, I'm looking forward to delving into the deeper levels of intimacy. I don't think I've been intimate with myself. So let's find out where the deeper levels of intimacy will take me and our listeners. Things, what's the specific things that we can point out in ourselves that reflect unfulfilled yearning?
When you pick up constant unhappiness towards the way your relationship is, it shows you that there is an unfulfilled yearning in you. This unfulfilled yearning led you to choose your partner in the first place. But can an inner void, a hole, ever be filled by another person? Can you ever fill a bottomless hole for someone else? If you are playing a blaming game, you are more than probably carrying around some unfulfilled yearnings. The blaming game means when you get stuck in a relationship full of accusation and don't look to the root cause of your unhappiness.
You've asked important questions. One is, can an inner void, a hole, ever be filled by another person? And knowing all that I know now, I can absolutely say no. Not at all. And another question was, can you ever fill a bottomless hole for someone? And with everything I've learned in the past 9 episodes, no one can ever fill a bottomless hole for someone. One cannot even do it for their own children. I remember some of the blame games I've played. So there was a reflection moment there as you were saying all of that. And thank you for these examples that reflect unfulfilled yearning in us. Dear listener, I hope you start to reflect too. Kings, what does fulfilled intimacy then looks like in a romantic relationship or marriage?
When we accept that there is a lot more than what catches the eye in driving our behaviors and expectation leading to a happy or unhappy life, and as it is true to us, it is also true to our partner. We all bring a whole family history and relations into our marriage. The unseen triggers, expectations, and yearnings will stay hidden and uncontrollably and unstoppably drive us to exhaustion and the exhaustion of our relationship. To reach fulfilled intimacy, we have to be brave enough to get intimate with our own roots.
Aha. So indeed, we do bring a whole family history and relations in our marriage. That is big. And when you talk about family history, how far back are you talking about? Is this the good and the bad history? And in terms of relations, may you please open that a little bit for us?
So how far, that I don't know. We normally say that the closer the generation is to us, the more we will feel the effect on our lives. There is also a saying that it's 7 generations back, like the Bible says. But I've seen that the effects of certain big events that happen further down the line than 7 generations are still felt even in this generation. It is difficult to say, but as a thumb rule, the closer someone is to you, the closer the history of his to you, the more it will affect you, and subsequently, the more it will have an effect on your marriage. These influences we are definitely going to experience as good or bad, either a suffering or a bliss. Let's look at first love, which is the love full of miracles and dreams. That's an example. It is a beautiful thing to experience. When this love ends, it becomes the example of the love that we are looking for in our whole life. All new relationships must live up to the unrepeatable beauty of this love. Is it worthwhile to have such a beautiful first love that we give up our future happiness for it? From the other side, is it worthwhile to never experience this love to avoid future pain? These are big questions, and without healing, we all deal with it in our own way as best we know. In the systemic approach, there is another big question that we could ponder on when it comes to first love. What if this beautiful first love didn't actually happen to me, or to one of my ancestors? What if I'm avoiding falling in love because someone else's dreams were shattered? Now, let's look at traumatic events in our past. Yes, we do have traumatic events in our history, and I wouldn't say or necessarily say that it is nice or good to have traumatic events as a part of our history. But if you have listened to the previous episode of the Unique Yet Connected podcast, you already know that surviving traumatic events made our ancestors formidable and strong. With the relations, you had the question, the second one. I meant the pattern of relating to the different members of the family. We normally feel closer to the more dominant, for lack of a better word, parents of ours. Interestingly, this dominant position doesn't mean domineering, but a lot of other things. It could be the one who looked after us, the parent who believed that she or he is better than the other one, the parent who didn't see us, the parent whose family has daily contact with us, the parent who is the victim, the parent who was made out to be the perpetrator, the parent who stayed, the one who died.
Wow. It's a lot of other things indeed. It's interesting how I'm relating to what you just shared and the insight I got from all of it.
We normally have a more important parent. For some people, it might sound bad, but I want to mention that being more important doesn't mean necessarily mean having a favorite. Parents' dominance and high influence on our lives can come from many different backgrounds, not just from favoring one to the other.
Indeed, we normally do have an important parent. And I did say to my dad at some point that my mom was more important. And it was not in a disrespectful way or disregarding him as a father. But at the time, I needed to clear my priorities with him and that my mom's well-being came before his. And now I can say it's because mom looked after me. Mom saw me, mom believed in me, mom stayed, and her family had more contact with us. So I could be bringing more of my mom's family relations into my marriage than my dad's. Now I get it.
Yes, that I'm sure is true. You will follow the offer parents lead. We could say that we get our core values from our dominant or more important parent, and what we don't like in ourselves from the other. It is all rooted in our need for displaying loyalty as a form of connection. Subconsciously, we also want to be loyal to the underdog between our parents, and it could come out as a certain personal trait or behaviors that we don't like about ourselves. From my side, like you brought in your example, my example, I worked a lot on looking at and feeling my parents as equal. But it seems to be taking some time to get there. When I was working on the connection circle theme around our money beliefs, I've realized that when it comes to my beliefs about money, I would always put a bigger importance of being able to save money than earning it. This belief came from my mom, my dominant parent. I had no doubt that we managed to move into a bigger house because she saved. She put it together. She saved it together. In the middle of working on my beliefs about money, I realized that while I was growing up, there was never any word said about earning. And I realized that it was actually my father who earned more, much more than my mom. She saved what she saved from what he earned. And I found this interesting. Which one is more important? Which one is more important in your eyes, dear listener? Earning or saving? Are they equally important? Can you also find a link to your parents' beliefs when you think about these two elements of wealth creation? Now I believe they are equally important. To see them as equal, not equal in action, but as equal inside me, might take a little more work and time. The earning part comes from dad, and the saving part comes from mom. It is okay for them to be equal. For me to become the best version of my mom and dad, they have to have equal importance in me.
Wow, that's a different angle to look at self. So I guess that is why it can be challenging to be the best version of self if one of the parents is low on the scale. You said the unseen triggers, expectations, and yearnings will stay hidden and uncontrollably and unstoppably drive us to exhaustion and the exhaustion of our relationship. My mind is boggled. How can they stay hidden, yet they are uncontrollable and yet unstoppable? How does that happen?
Exactly, because they are unseen by us, they are able to wreck our relationship. As soon as we bring them to the light, understand them, accept them, are even there to stay, to start to love them, that is when they change from being uncontrollable and unstoppable in damaging our relationship to an unstoppable support to us. Why would we love them? Because they were there trying to protect us from pain. That is not their fault, that the protection was actually not in our best interest.
So you can say these are safety measures that arise in us at that traumatic time or post-trauma. They were there to protect us, or we put them up as our guard. So we can love them if we look at them in the context that you just mentioned when we start the process of healing.
I would bring in an example. Sometimes it happens that when someone yearns for a child, the child doesn't come. When we have a look in a constellation, we often see that for some reason it wasn't safe for children to be born into the family. There might have been a lot of child death, misplacement, separation, abuse, or incest in the family history, and subconsciously the mother might be protecting the child from one of these difficult fates. There could be a pattern in the family that the children need protection from. The subconscious says the best way for you to show your love to your unborn child is not to have him. It is better for you not to be born than to have that fate, to go through what the others went through. When I was little, I believed that not having a child is a lesser pain than losing a child. By the time I realized that it was not my pain, but I carried it for my grandparents who lost a child, it was too late for me to have a baby.
I'm so sorry, Kings. And I get that though it's painful, it's for protection. But also, how do we then love that? Because you said we can love them, you know, just reconciling with that.
By love, I mean acceptance. We often see that when we try to do our best and what we believe is best for another person, we end up unintentionally hurting the other person. For example, if you have a beloved niece and you see that she's not studying for her exam, you decide that she's doing the worst thing for her future. You might say to her, "You must study, or you end up being a bum sitting on the side of the road. You're gonna have no money, you're gonna starve." But is this the truth? The truth is that you don't know what's going to happen in your niece's future life. What is definitely going to happen is that the child is going to get hurt. What if the fear of losing the possibility of a good future belongs to you and not to her? What if this situation is actually your trigger? The reason behind this trigger might not be something that you can see even when you are consciously looking for it. It is something which has to be uncovered. I'm using this word deliberately. When we uncover something, it is something that was always there, but it is concealed from us. The protection covered it from us because what was under is assumed to be painful. So when you look at a 60 years old misbehaving person, you will not be able to love this person. When you look behind his age and uncover that the pain comes from the mistreated small child inside him, then you can love him in an empathetic way, compassionate way, accepting way.
Yeah, it takes quite a lot to get there, but it's possible. I know it is. You said in order to reach a state of fulfilled intimacy, we need to be brave enough to get intimate with our own roots. What do you mean by intimate with our own roots?
That would be utilizing the incredible benefits of the systemic family constellation to be able to uncover these triggers, to get intimate with our origins, to be able to let them go in the most gentle way. I mean, the trauma is from our origins, not the origins.
So to uncover the truth is going deep into the roots of your family system and see what it says about the patterns or the symptoms or the trauma or whatever, anything that you want to uncover.
Yes, to allow the system to heal and release what was locked inside it and was stopping the flow of life. We don't need to know the actual event to be able to do this. It is a transformation process in the most gentle way. Doing the exercises from the previous episodes will help you to accept your triggers. Systemic constellation works because we change our relationship to the triggers, to our triggers. This change comes from the heart, and that we are able to release them from the body and the mind.
Oh, thank you so much, Kings, for the exercises. They've helped shift a lot of patterns in my life and relationships. And I'm also seeing a change in the relationship with my triggers. It's steady, but it's moving. Yeah, so let's move on.
Why do relationships hurt? Such a great importance in our life. Aristotle said, man is by nature a social animal. He can't but live in society. According to Indra Thorsten, recent brain research confirms Aristotle's finding. Adults remain social animals. They continue to require a source of stabilization outside themselves. People cannot be stable on their own, nor should or shouldn't be, but can't be. The limbic, emotional part of our brain doesn't allow this. Stability means finding people who regulate you well and staying near them. Thus, we find stability through relationship. The emotional need to be in relation with other people is part of what innately makes us human. We need it to survive like we need food and drink. Back to Indra Thorsten, according to Indra Thorsten, studies on babies show how intricately interwoven being a human and being in a relationship are. In the 13th century, King Frederick II, the ruler of southern Italy, undertook an experiment in which nursing staff were asked to provide the necessary care for infants without showing any signs of affection and without establishing an emotional bond with the infants. It ended with the death of all infants concerned. In the 1940s, psychoanalyst René Spitz reported on orphan children caught in the repetition of Frederick's experiment. In spite of the physical needs of the infants concerned being met, the children inevitably became withdrawn, sickly, and lost weight, and a great many died. Spitz rediscovered that the lack of human interaction, handling, cooing, stroking, baby talk, and play is fatal to infants. It is generally known that prison use isolation cells for particularly hardened criminals. Long-standing solitary confinement without any form of human contact is, in fact, a method of torture. In other words, being in a relationship is a basic human need.
Well, the experiment on babies was just awful. I guess it kind of proved the point that babies need love, warmth, connection, and lots of touching and cuddles. Aren't we supposed to find stability within us first? It sounds like it's important to have people who regulate us. Why do we need that? And I don't believe that all relationships give us stability. What kind of relationships are you talking about?
Just again, we are social animals and cannot survive on our own. Have you seen the movie with Tom Hanks, The Castaway? He was shipwrecked on his own on an island. He created a companion for himself named Wilson the Volleyball. Connecting through communication is such an innate need that if we don't find anyone to talk to, we start to talk to ourselves. About your question of stability, regulating ourselves is important and is a big part of what we call high emotional intelligence, but we are innately unable to be stable on our own. If we don't have another living being to connect to, we create one in our minds. I just read a story about someone with dementia finding companionship with his reflection in the mirror for hours. Even in that state of mind, we are still looking for companionship. We need others to be stable and for our survival. Just as we need drink or eat, we need companionship. You asked what kind of relationship? We will take anything we can get. Even a volleyball like Wilson in The Castaway will suffice. More we are alike with our companion, the more stable we will feel emotionally.
Yes, I know the movie, and Wilson did play a big role in his survival. If being in a relationship is a basic human need, why do they seem so hard to keep, and why do we take each other or the relationships for granted?
Would you please clarify, what do you mean by taking each other or the relationship for granted?
I mean, if being in a relationship is a human need, why does it seem like we don't value them that much, you know, when we are in them, you know? Does that come from the unfulfilled yearning?
Yeah, yes, I would say. How can we love someone who doesn't give us what we need most? How can we value a relationship that makes us suffer by not fulfilling our needs and expectations?
So we don't value each other because we don't fulfill our unfulfilled yearnings. Just to clear this up again, it is right that it is me who is supposed to deal with my unfulfilled yearning, not my husband or siblings or parents, friends or colleagues, right?
Aristoteles said, anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and the right way, that is not easy.
Oh, wow. That is so profound.
Systemic family constellation work is a holistic counseling method and heals and transforms our relationship issues. It heals the deep underlying cause of the problems and not the symptoms. What do I mean under the symptoms in relationship? Fighting, abusive partner, alcoholism, infidelity, etc. Some would say these are the causes, but the systemic work looks at them as symptoms.
The systemic work is a deep journey. May you give us examples of the possible causes for each of them? I know each of our systems can give us different causes, and only the field can show us what is really going on in our own system.
I can't give you the cause behind the different behaviors. Every family is different and unique, and the cause will be unique as well. There are similarities. Trying to solve the problems in our heads is trying to solve the symptoms. If someone has a drinking problem, he must stop drinking and stop hurting the family. Does this sound right?
It sounds like a right thing to do for the person who suffers with symptoms of alcoholism. But on the surface, it's deeper than that because there's a root cause that causes the symptoms. Therefore, it sounds uninformed. Therefore, not the right thing to say in that perspective.
You are becoming so wise about the loss of love, my friend. When we say that this person must just stop drinking and that's it, and the problem is solved, there is no more problem in the relationship. The systemic work used this as an unsympathetic and harsh approach to this person. This person more than probably deeply loves his or her family, but there is a trigger in the past, childhood or family history trauma that is so painful that the only way to deal with it is through numbing his or her feelings.
Yes, so this is so true. I know that from my father and his family. I'm so thankful you helped me in a constellation concerning the pattern of alcoholism in my dad's family. What's the best approach for the person who has symptoms of addiction?
When someone is addicted to something that will more than probably cost their lives, like cigarettes or drugs or unprotected sex, the first question should be asked, for whose sake are you killing yourself for?
Yeah, that is a big question.
And the answer cannot be found in the conscious, but in the subconscious mind and the system. It is hidden from us. The only person we are able to see in front of us is an out of control drug addict. To be able to see beyond the action, we indeed need a loving heart.
A loving heart. It seems to elude us when we are faced with an addict. Do you have some wisdom for a person who's dealing with a partner or wife or husband who's addicted?
Yeah, it's a big question. We have already talked about how in our relationship we choose a person where the key and the keyhole matches each other. I know this sounds controversial. Why would I choose an addict as a partner? We will go into this in more depth in the episodes to follow. But the truth is that we keep making these types of choices when it comes to our relationship. If this would be an actual constellation session, we would start the process by looking if there is also addiction in the family of the client. To have an addict as a partner is always mirroring something in the sober partner's system. When the root cause is healed, the client will know what is the best next step for her or him concerning the relationship. It is also possible that the addicted partner will change, but this cannot be guaranteed.
Oh, I feel you and I know, but I don't want to get into those experiences because this is the best place to end this episode. That reminder about the key and the keyhole matching each other is important when we are looking in all our relationship issues. And it's something that now I've also taken in. And I say to some of my family members and friends, Kings, and they look at me like, what? No way. So thank you so much, Kings, and I hope our listeners have received everything they needed to receive in this episode. As King and I worked on this episode, the hidden things were uncovered, and we hope things were uncovered relating to you, dear listener. Kinga, what should our listeners expect in the next episode?
We will start to look into the different relationship development stages, how to create through them an actual growth pattern for ourselves, for us. And just again, dear listeners, remember if you feel like you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues and would like to have an individual session, book a family constellation session with us on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com, or on socials, Facebook or Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is @uniqueyetconnected.
Thank you for listening to our 30th episode, and another big thank you to Nick Mons from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. Our 31st episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 17th of September, 2023, from 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Like our pages, engage with us on Facebook or Instagram at Unique Yet Connected. Unique spelled YOUNIQUE. Stay unique, stay connected, and remember you are one of a kind, and we can only create a really meaningful podcast together. Till the next episode.
Khoso nom siyabulela tsamako. Khoso nom siyabulela.